Jaden Foster homework, Maury Foster students again. Holy cow, that's quite the excitement that's going on in town right now.
Yeah, I just heard sirens and sirens.
And sirens on top of sirens.
A lot of them.
Stephanie's over here.
It really just stresses me out because it's such a small town. Like, when things happen, it's like, I mean, chances are you're going to know somebody who's involved, and I don't like that. I always do like an inventory, like, where's my kids? Where's Joey? Where's John? Where's my mom? Where's Tashina?
Okay,
where's my dad?
Like,
where is everybody? And are you breathing? And if you don't text me back, you better be prepared for 7,000 phone calls from me and the people I recruit.
The good news, well, not the good news, because a car accident's terrible, but there's so many out-of-towners that are using Pete Hendricks to 95 right now.
Yeah.
There was a guy the other day that came from somewhere. I don't know if I'm supposed to say. Anyway, and this is what I heard through the grapevine, not through my deputy husband. Let's just put that out there right now before anybody gets any thoughts. Some dude was coming from a place not anywhere near here.
Cambodia?
No, not that far. And he saw a haystack field or a haystack yard. Haystack field, sorry. Haystack yard. And he started spinning Brodies in it because he thought it would be fun. Totaled his truck. Like, you freaking idiot.
Lord.
What is wrong with you? Dumbass. People are so dumb. And that 95, well, Iazzi and Miller Lane, that corner right there, people just blow through that thing and then they end up in the field.
Well, isn't that where we used to drag race?
No.
Yes.
Never, not once did
God,
we drag race.
We got that Mustang of mine up to like 135.
No, I don't recall that.
I do, and then somebody called the cops on us, and we got pulled over by the fairgrounds on the way back into town, and we had to play real dumb, and the cop was like,
and that was not hard for us guys at all.
We know it's you.
And we were like, we never heard of a green Mustang. What's a Mustang? We did some really stupid stuff.
We also got pulled over one time, and Tashina was driving my car, which happened a lot, and I'm not sure why my parents were fine with that, but you drove my car a lot.
Yes.
And we just got done with volleyball camp, and we were dying. I mean, that was an all-day long volleyball camp. Our legs were sore. I think volleyball camp's probably the most sore I've ever been, honestly. And Tashina's house was out of town, and we were trying to get there to sleep, and because Tashina really, didn't you have to pee?
Yes.
Yeah, so she was speeding, and she got pulled over, and she pretty much started crying. And
I didn't pretty much start crying. I fucking started bawling. It was like, we're just so tired, and I have to pee so bad. Can you just follow us? And then you can give me a ticket if you want. And he was just like, have a nice day.
Yeah, no, but remember, he was like, just so you know, all of the deputies are in this direction. Like, and so you're
the
like...
The opposite direction
yeah,
of where
so
we just came.
Yeah, so Tashina's like, are you giving me permission to speed? And he said, once again, there are no cops going that direction.
And I was
like, so we took off.
Sayonara, adios, senor.
Thank
you. Gracias. Yeah. Oh, the things that we got into. I'm really glad that we survived those, honestly.
Yeah.
Drag racing on Pete Hendricks. I look at Pete Hendricks now and I'm just like, my kids can never go out that way. Never.
My kids can't even leave the house.
Right. No.
It really freaks me out, especially when they start getting old enough to drive. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember when John Hume had us way out there on that, by where you lived, and our
by
curfew
Wilson
was
Canyon?
10 o'clock?
Yes.
And it was 9:53?
Yes.
And we were way the fuck out there, and he still got us home in time, and he went around that corner so fast.
And we were just like this.
Yeah, but he got us home on time.
He sure did.
We were white as ghosts when we walked in the door, but we were there. Like, hi, Mom. And now that I am a parent, I feel like I'd much rather my kids have been 20 minutes late.
Right.
And alive.
Right. Like, maybe just give us a call, like, hey,
look,
we're on
coming.
Our way home. We're just
out of town.
We're just in Wilson Canyon. Can you give us like an additional 10?
Yeah.
Or we're going to speed home and may die in the process. Which, choose your goal there, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, how was your New Year's? Have we done a podcast since after Christmas? Yes, we did.
Yes, but we didn't do one since after New Year's.
Yes. So how was your New Year's?
It was uneventful, but so much fun. My sister came down with her two girls, and we played Uno Attack with the kids, which is hilarious to play with children because kids don't take card games. Like, they're just, like, fun. Like, there was tears.
Oh, yeah, no.
Every time you, like, send the press two for the Uno Attack, they'd get, like, it was, like, offensive towards them. It's like, this is a card game.
Right.
And my sister had a whole fucking stack in her hand, and her daughter Emma had three cards, and my sister got the switch hands with somebody card, and so she picked Emma, and Emma cried.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we were just trying to have fun, and the kids are like, anyways, but then they quit.
They fucking flip the table. Like, yeah. Fuck you guys.
Grandma's a cheating whore. Anyways.
I'm sorry, that was really funny.
Anyways.
Grandma's a cheating whore.
Anyways. Then we played phase 10.
I'm sorry. Sorry, that one really got me. Okay. What's phase 10?
It's a card game. It's a lot of fun. And it was just Joey and me and my sister, we kicked the kids out of that situation.
Oh, yeah, we were like, that's too much.
My sister made the stupid idea of buying all the kids party horns.
Oh, no.
But so everybody gets theirs out of the package, and it's really funny because for Christmas, when they had the Christmas thing at City Hall, all the girls got a bell, and Trinity's didn't have the dinger inside of it.
It's because she didn't believe.
Yeah, and so we gave her a hard time about that. Well, everybody gets their horns, and everybody goes, and Trinity's was literally like, it wouldn't horn. There was no horn. And so we gave her a hard time, and I'm like, Trinity, this is exactly how 2022 is going to go for you.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. Did she start crying?
Well, yeah, right there. And I pat her on the back. It's a buck up.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Hang on for the ride, sister.
Stretch through.
Yeah.
You got this. She cried and cried. I'm just kidding.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. We had a very major phone call from Stephanie's mother because that whole accident that we were talking about at the beginning, we were frightened. Stephanie was frightened that it was her mother. And then I got frightened.
Because I hadn't heard from her and she wouldn't answer her phone.
And so I said, I'll call her, because if I call, she'll probably think something's wrong, and then she'll probably answer. Maybe she was just, like, ignoring you.
And I said, if she answers your phone above mine, I'm going to be pissed. And guys, guess who she just called back? Tashina. Not Stephanie.
But it's because, like, if she had missed calls from Carissa, from you, and then from me...
That, yeah, she's probably, like...
Can you imagine what's going on in her head? There's something wrong.
And would you, night.
Well, and would you call Stephanie in a panic situation?
Hell yes.
No, you would not.
She is so dependable.
No, you would not. If there's a panic situation, you're not calling Stephanie.
It might not have been English you heard when you called, but...
So she probably wanted to know exactly what was wrong.
Yeah.
That's why she called me. It wasn't because I'm her favorite. It's because she knows...
If there was something wrong. What she's saying is that I'm her favorite, and she wanted to make sure I was okay, but she didn't want to call and ask me if I was okay.
Right, because how are you going to...
Maybe I was bleeding.
Right. Exactly.
Profusely.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, sorry about that. What were we talking about before that?
I feel like it was... Oh, Trinity.
Yes. And her 2022...
Yeah, and she just cried. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. But my sister was surprised because Trinity sleeps all day. Like, if she had the choice, she would sleep her whole life away. Mm-hmm. But Trinity comes to life at night.
Oh, she's a night person?
Oh my God, she loves the night.
She really does.
It's like 4:00 in the morning and I'm going to pee and she's in there awake all the time. It's insane to me. But she was like... dancing and being crazy, and my sister was like, who is this? Because my sister's
like, came out of her shell.
Yeah, my sister has never met nighttime Trinity, so she was like in shock, like, oh my gosh.
She needs to have more sleepovers then, and then she'll be the life of the party.
Yeah.
Mm.
And speaking of Trinity, guys, she made the 7th grade volleyball team, and she is so very excited.
I'm very excited for her. We were all very nervous, guys. It was like all day texting back and forth. Have you heard yet? Have you heard yet? And somebody's like, no. And I said, well, when are they going to let you know? And she's like, 5:00. And I was like, that is too late. Tell, yeah. We can't be
so
doing
I
that.
So I called John because he was picking her up from volleyball, and I was like, I need to know immediately. I cannot handle this whole you driving from the gym to my house without telling me. Like, text me. And he's like, okay, I'll send you a thumb up or a thumb down on the way home. Like, I will let you know. But I was feeling super bad because that morning we were talking and I was trying to explain to her, like, look, try your hardest. It's the most you can do. It's all right. You can do. But it is what it is. If you make it or you don't make it, right. Nothing changes about who you are,
right.
Or, like, what you are. You know what I mean? Like, don't let it. It's not the end of the world.
Right. It's not going to define you.
And she already started tearing up. And she says, but it kind of is a big deal, Mom, because volleyball is my favorite sport. And right when she said that, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm not above calling this coach and, like, telling her I'll give her money. I was so nervous. And then I was telling Haley at work, like, you know how parents are supposed to want their kids to do things? I don't ever want my kid to try out for another team in, like, ever. Do you know the anxiety I felt for that all day long? Like, just
yes,
don't do anything.
I do
stay
know.
Home. Stay home. Don't do anything.
You
You're fine.
All day long.
You don't know. You don't need a job. You don't need to go to job interviews. Nothing. Like, just stay home with me because I can't handle it.
I was thinking
that I'm a nut.
No. That when we were going to tryouts and stuff, like, I never had fears that I wasn't going to make the team. But I wonder if my parents did.
I
and just
that
didn't
too.
Voice their opinion. Like,
I'm sure they stress out for us, but can I tell you something? Maybe that's why I have more anxiety than you, because in seventh grade, I tried out for volleyball, and I was cut.
Oh, were you?
And I cried so fucking hard that night Jim called me and said I could be on the team.
Oh. Yeah. That's all. See? There you go.
Yeah, because I cried so much.
But did your mom, like, have to call him then?
I don't know if she called him or not. I think he just felt bad because literally I was the
Did
only
you start
kid.
Crying there? At
right
the
when they told me. I was a mess. I was like a freaking mess. But then I played every single
yeah.
year. And he always gave me a hard time. In fact, when we won state, that was
that.
One of the things he told me. Like, I'm so glad that I put you on the team in
See?
Seventh grade. Yeah. Not that I, you know, like, fully helped him win state or anything, but.
You were really good in the back row.
I'm just short.
Yeah, no, that, hey, there's a position for everybody in volleyball, man. Where's your dad?
He's alive.
Our New Year's was really good.
I'm so glad. Sorry to ask. My God, I'm sorry.
We didn't do anything. I honestly don't feel like anybody did anything. I didn't see, like, any posts of people out and about. Like, everybody was home with their little families, and it just made my heart so happy. To be quite honest with you, I've never went out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's amateur hour. And
I don't have any need or
I'm not about to die on New Year's Eve.
You know, one of the bar owners here in town was telling me that...
You keep pointing that way, but that's a church.
I was pointing to the town.
Oh, okay. What in the Sam hell, guys? I thought I turned this... mother trucker off. There we go. Okay, sorry.
That they, like, why?
I don't know what's happening. Sorry.
That they, like, made less than half of what they normally make every year on New Year's
really?
Eve. So he was
yeah.
saying, like, a lot of people must have stayed home because, like, they make a lot. Like,
yeah.
way less than half of what they normally
yeah,
make.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody just stayed home and chilled out. Which is
I know we even
good.
Tried to get Tashina to come over.
You asked me to bring dessert, and I was like, bitches, I'm not bringing dessert. I'll come over, but I'm not bringing dessert. So I wanted to go to bed at about 7:30, and Peyton was adamant we were staying up till midnight. And I was like, well, let's watch it at 9, and then if we don't make it to midnight, it's not
okay.
that big of a deal. So we watched it at 9, but she would not celebrate. I'm not celebrating. I'm not counting down. So me, Maurice, and Matt all counted down. We, you know, hoorayed, whatever. And Peyton is sitting there like, nope, not gonna. So then I went into the bedroom and I finished reading that one book. And then she was like coming in every half an hour. We have 2 hours left.
Awake. Yeah.
We have an hour and a half left. We have an hour left. We have a half an hour left. So once it got down to like 15 minutes, I went in her room because we don't have regular TV anymore. We just have like the Roku or whatever. And so I was like, okay, put it on the channel. And she's like, this is the channel. And I'm like, I don't think this is the countdown, Pates, for the midnight one. And she's like, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just on commercials. Well, it was like all these crazy commercials. And I was like, Peyton, there's 2 minutes left. I don't think this is the countdown. So the countdown never came on for the midnight one. And she was so sad. And she was like, it's fine. It's fine. And I'm like, well, let's try a different channel. So then I went to a different channel, like two channels up. And they had like the Sydney, Australia one, and it was amazing. It was much better than the New York one. So then we watched that one, and she was better. Yeah, she was happy. And then we watched them from all around the world. London had their fireworks, and there was a big like firework that went off, and it was a lion head. It was so cool.
Oh, cool.
It was awesome. We watched Singapore, we watched Tokyo, Sydney, Australia, London. It was cool. So. And then she, like, immediately went to sleep.
So. You want to know what we watched? What? The digital clock that comes up on the TV on the Saber screen.
Oh.
Because we're super exciting people. And they all counted down. And then for some odd reason, they felt the need to open the front door and scream Happy New Year to the entire town as loud as they could.
Nice.
At midnight, yeah. Nice. Whatever floats their little boats.
Whatever floats their boats.
And me and my sister bought some champagne. Because last time I had champagne, I remember champagne being mighty tasty. And it was like a dirty gym sock. It was the worst drink ever.
Did you buy cheap champagne?
I don't know. I guess it wasn't expensive.
Well, there's different champagnes.
Well, yeah, this was bad. Last time I drank a champagne.
A champagne with me in here one time.
Yeah, that wasn't terrible. The one we had at my house was absolutely terrible. Oh. But the one champagne night that I remember, it was 2 o'clock in the morning and I was in a wagon being pulled down the street screaming my head off. So no. That's the kind of champagne I was looking for. And it was not great.
Speaking of board games, Peyton, I got that Oregon Trail game and it's like a board game. There are a lot of rules to that game.
Is there?
Yes.
Well, yeah, anyway. You don't want to die.
Yes, but it's like, I don't know. Anyway, whatever. And so we were playing it. We're kind of getting to the hang of it. And you can kind of tell fairly quickly if somebody's going to win or not. And Maurice had us all fucking beat. Like, for sure. And Peyton was losing. And she's the sorest goddamn loser that there ever was on the history of the planet. And he was about to cross the line to finish the game. And Blady came in and fucking sideswiped the board game. And all the pieces were everywhere, and Peyton fucking lost her mind and was like, I gotta win! Bitch, no, you couldn't! He was about to cross the line!
Oh, kids take their games so seriously.
Like, it was his turn, he was about to cross the line. I could have won! No, ma'am. There's no way you would have won that game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Monsters.
And then we hiked up the White Hill. On New Year's Day.
I want to go with you the next time you do that.
Okay. I think we're going to try to go... We might go Saturday.
Okay.
If you want to go. Mm-hmm. And there was a whole bunch of people out. The Melody Adams. And... Oh my God, why did I blank his name? Hazen. Jesus. Hazen.
They were hiking in.
Yeah, and Kristen and her husband, Matt. And then their kids and their a million dogs. They had like 15 dogs. And I was walking down and I was like, hey! You need to get your dogs on a leash. Melody threw up her hands because my dogs were down there by him. And she was like, excuse me. And then he's like, it's just Tashina.
You're such a shit.
Otherwise, it was good. And then we had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
For wrestling.
For wrestling on Sunday. So that's why we did not.
I know. I was surprised that you were because you texted me about a book the night before. And then I texted you that morning and it was like 9 o'clock. And I really didn't expect you to respond. And you did like right away.
Yeah. So.
And then I looked on Facebook and saw you were at wrestling.
Yeah. I'd been at wrestling for hours. Hours. Same thing's going to happen this week in 2 Sundays.
Yeah.
The next 5 Sundays in a row. Well, we're going to skip. 1 Sunday, so.
Are you going to come to any of Trinity's volleyball games?
Yes, you got to give me the schedule and I'll come.
I've got it. I'll send it to you.
We also have our girls' volleyball coming up, too. So that should be fun to figure that schedule out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, now that we're 20 minutes in, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this thing, huh? Shall we? We're going to do a Betty White night, guys.
A Betty White tribute because we love her.
Love her. That woman was my spirit animal and I'm so fucking pissed that she died. Number one, that she died. Number two, that she didn't make it to her 100th birthday.
Can I tell you something, though? Because Betty White was like a stand-up, like one of the best people. And I feel like her soul like did it on purpose because she wanted to leave all the bad in 21. Could you imagine what people would say if it was 17 days into the brand new year and we lost Betty White? Like, well, there's fucking 2022 in this shitter too. Like, I feel like she did it for all of us. Yeah.
I love that. Did you ever watch that Hot in Cleveland show?
Yeah.
Oh my God, she was hilarious in that.
But my all-time favorite show ever since I was little is The Golden Girls. And I'm not kidding. I watched that since I was a little girl. And my mom used to give me a hard time about it all the time because they were such little old ladies. And I loved them. But I love old people.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
You know what? We're not doing it justice, guys. Let's give it to you. Hold on just a second. A good song. Doesn't it just like get your feelers going, Stephanie?
It makes me really sad. I'm
it does
not gonna
make
lie.
You really I sad really every time I've looked over at her.
I think that she's the first famous person that died that actually hurt my heart.
Yes.
Like it makes me super sad.
Yes. Normally I know people that literally cry when celebrities die.
Like when Kobe Bryant died, Trinity cried for an entire day.
Like,
she didn't even know him.
You don't know these people. Like, it's sad. I think it's very tragic. But you don't know them. It doesn't affect you in any way. But Betty.
Betty did affect me.
Because Betty's been around a long time.
In fact, you guys, I found out a really cool fact about her that she actually holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest female TV career.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Well, because she was what? How many decades?
I'm gonna tell you right now if you give me 5 seconds. Go ahead and take it away with a song.
Well, what I thought was cool was somebody said, you know, it really pays a tribute to the person that you are when you're almost 100 years old and somebody says they died too soon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're almost 100 years old.
So, her TV career started on an experimental West Coast dance TV show, the first of its kind ever, in 1939. Yeah. So, 39, 49, 59, 69, 79, 89, 99, 2009, 2019. Did I do that right?
I think so.
82 years?
Yeah.
Lord!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. It's just crazy to me. Crazy to me. The things that she has seen.
The movie she was in, I can't think of the name, but with, I can't think of the people.
Wow, we're really
Sandra Bullock, and I think
the
it was...
The Proposal?
Yes, I loved
that
her in that movie.
That is my favorite.
It's a good movie.
She was in freaking Lake Placid. So I go to Janelle and Jason's house to pick up my kids. And the night that she had passed away, they were watching Lake Placid.
I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Because she's in it. I didn't know she was in it. I was like, holy cow. I was going to see. Oops.
I was watching a thing where it was a Grammy Awards. And she was recognizing Sandra Bullock for winning a Grammy.
Uh-huh.
And so she was like, you know how she was. She roasted people all the time. She was hilarious. But she was like up there saying all of these things that Sandra Bullock had accomplished. And Sandra was like right next to her. And she said, like towards the end of it, she said, which is just mind-boggling considering how plain she is.
Oh,
and like the entire crowd started laughing so hard.
I was trying to find all of the movies that she's been in, which are just a freaking plethora of them. I saw also on TikTok that she had a like TV show at one point, and she invited an African American guy on. And at the time, it was like in the 40s. No, it was probably like in the 50s or 60s, and it was still really frowned upon.
I saw that.
And she gave him extra airtime to piss him off, and then they canceled her show like 2 days later.
Yeah, I did see that she did that though.
She is a boss. So, I was just going through. So she has been around for almost 100 years. So let's just say from the 1920s.
Sorry.
To 2022. So in that time, all of the things that she has seen and has, I mean, been through, everything.
Yeah.
She was in World War, or I mean, she was...
Yeah.
Not in World War II, but...
She experienced it.
Right, she experienced it. She experienced all the wars that we've been through. She's experienced... it's mind-boggling to think of, I mean, what happened in
all
the
50s, all of the decades 60s, she's been through, yeah.
She was in the 60s, she was in the 70s, like, god damn.
Yeah, that tends to happen when you grow older.
I know, but it's just like, I don't know, because everybody, I don't know.
Like, when the you world think of now somebody, compared to then, like, she yeah. has seen...
And just when you think of, like, somebody, you feel like, oh, they got, like, which is not true, but I always just feel like, I don't know how to explain it. Well, like, people live in the 80s. And, like, that was their, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so what I was going to say is I'm going to go through and...
All the things that she's lived
yes.
through.
Yes. So, the first traffic signal getting installed. Band-Aids.
Like, the first ever Band-Aid.
The first ever Band-Aid. The electric blender, TVs, a vacuum cleaner. Ooh, hold on. What the hell? Gosh. Cotton swabs, a bulldozer, a cheeseburger. The
Man,
gas.
She's experienced a lot of things.
The gas chamber.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of a dark one, but it wasn't around when she was born.
Yeah.
Masking tape. Drive-thrus of any kind. Like movies. McDonald's. McDonald's? McDonald's wasn't around in the 20s. Starbucks. Dutch Bros. Anyway. Pop-up toasters. Ice cube trays. Bubble gum.
She really has lived through it all.
Penicillin? There was no penicillin when she was born. What? Frozen food?
They didn't have preservatives?
No. Tampons?
Holy shit, what'd they do?
They just bled out.
The red tent.
Yeah. Oh, God. Sunglasses.
What'd they do for their UV rays?
Let them sink right into their orbital holes. So then I went through prices of everything in the 1920s. Milk, guess how much?
Like 29 cents.
9 cents.
Holy crap.
Coffee, 48. Flour, $1.13.
Milk is more expensive than coffee? Cheaper than coffee?
Yeah.
That's kind of... It's a...
Cornflakes, 25 cents. Soap, $1. Tobacco in a can, $1.30. Round steaks, 29 cents. Hams, 19. Sugar, a 10-pound bag of sugar was 45 cents. Cheese, 18 cents. Shoes, $3.44 to $7.44. The Ford vehicles, a sedan was like $795. Trucks were $545. A tractor was $790. And then you could buy, in the 20s, Sears had a catalog that you could buy homes from. So, the house on the Sears catalog, a 5-bedroom, was $2,436.
That's crazy. Really, though, that's mind-boggling.
I hate you so much. I did all of this research.
I know, and you did such a good job. You did, really, and that is crazy that you could buy a house for that. can't even buy a fucking car for that now.
Dude, I wish
you
I could
buy a piece of shit junker for that.
I wonder why they quit doing that. Sears. The Sears catalog.
They don't have a Sears catalog? Do they even have Sears anymore?
Do you remember when they used to have the JCPenney catalog? Oh, I love that catalog. I don't know, Miss Betty White.
So she lived through the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. She lived through World War II. Mm-hmm. She lived through the Spanish flu. Fuck, I don't know. I'm just listing things now. She lived through... When was polio? Just kidding. I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know.
She lived through a lot of things. She lived through, obviously, back in the racism days. Like you just said.
Jim Crow? Yeah. Yeah. It baffles me to think. When do you want to die?
I don't want to die.
Ever?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Well, you're going to have to.
I know. And do you know that it slightly terrifies me? All death thing related things freak me out really badly.
Where was she born? Was she married? Did she have kids?
No. Okay, but
I don't know.
She has no biological children.
Really? No wonder she lived so fucking long.
Let me read you this article.
She was born January 17th, 1922 in Oak Park, Illinois. Died in Los Angeles.
Okay, so ready?
Yeah.
Betty White was an American television icon.
Yeah.
There it is. That's what I know.
Oh, I was like, okay.
Grandmother. Oh, America's grandmother, essentially. I'm like, no, she wasn't. Betty White didn't have any biological children of her own, but she's been there for all of us for such a long time, and she's simply so lovable that it's hard to not think of her as a grandmother figure. But what do you really know about Betty? These 10 things about Betty will help you feel even closer to the Golden Girl actress. Up until the very end, Betty showed no signs of slowing down. She was always all smiles and full of good advice. On top of being an extremely accomplished actress, Betty was also loved to work for animal rights. If she were to have picked a job other than one in entertainment, she said that she would have picked being a zookeeper.
Oh.
Okay. Here's the... I already told you guys that. She held the record for the longest TV career for a female. Alan Ludden, do you know him? Proposed to her with an Easter bunny. The two fell in love when working on the Cape Cod Straw Hat Circuit. A year later, he proposed by sending Betty a stuffed Easter bunny with gold and sapphire earrings, along with a note that read, "Now come on, will you marry me?" Apparently, it wasn't the earrings that did it, but the bunny. As of 1976, People magazine article, Betty still had the bunny in her possession.
When did they get married? Or when did
it never
he propose?
Said when they got married.
Because he died.
He proposed in 1976.
And he died. 1976? He died in 1981.
Aw.
So they weren't married for very long. She also married Dick Barker. They were married in 1945, divorced in 1945.
Is that Travis's dad? Is it?
Travis's great-grandpa, probably. Stupid. Lane Allen, married 1947, divorced 1949. So she didn't stay married for very long. And the last one was Alan Ludden.
She hasn't been married since him?
They married in 1963.
Wow.
And he died in 1981. So they were married for a long time. And then he just died. And she hasn't been married since him.
Wow. She was worth at least $75 million.
She has 3 American Comedy Awards, 1 Britannia Award, Disney Legends Award, Daytime Emmy Award, Gracie Allen Award, Grammy Award, Golden Apple Award, People's Choice, Primetime Emmy. She has 5 Primetime Emmy Awards, 1 Regional Emmy Award, 2 Screen Actor Guilds Awards, 1 Teen Choice Award, TV Land Award. She's got 4 of those. UCLA Jack Benny Award, VQTQ Awards. She's got 2 of those, and 1 Women Film Critic Circle Award. So pretty much every time she was, she got nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award 21 times, and she won 5 out of the 21.
Wow. This says she was originally supposed to play Blanche. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
It says Betty originally auditioned for Blanche. the promiscuous golden girl. However, producers were worried that it would be too similar to her character on The Mary Tyler Moore Show. According to CBS, producers asked Betty and Rue McClanahan to switch which parts they were reading, and the rest is history.
Mm. She's the fourth mayor of Hollywood. Honorary. I don't know what that means.
She was almost in As Good As It Gets.
Oh, really? Instead of Diane Keaton?
But she did not approve of a scene where Jack Nicholson's character tosses a small dog down the garbage chute. Being like an animal rights activist, she didn't want any viewers to get any ideas from the scene. She said she didn't think it was very funny, and she tried to get the scene removed from the script, but director James Brooks cast Shirley Knight instead.
I loved her character in The Golden Girls because she would get those like little quims in without even...
But they made her sound so ditzy. Yeah, not
And then she would like say
all.
It and then just be like...
She was my favorite.
She was my favorite.
And then the oldest little lady.
And she was the youngest of all of them. Did you know that?
Really?
Yes.
She looked so much older.
She was younger than all of them.
There was Dorothy, Blanche...
Sophia, and oh shit!
My God, for really loving that show, I can't believe I don't remember. She's a part of
Rose.
Rose.
Betty Wright was Rose. Did you already say Rose?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Rose, Blanche, Dorothy, Sophia, Stanley, and Miles.
Is that terrible that we're doing a tribute on Betty White and we forgot? Well,
guys,
Rose?
Again. This is not a professional fucking podcast, okay?
It says she was a part of the Television Academy Hall of Fame. In 1995, Betty was rightfully inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame to honor her work on the likes of The Golden Girls and The Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was nominated for 3 Emmys for her work on Mary Tyler Moore, winning 2 of them. God bless it. No.
What happened?
I don't know. I pressed a button.
Oh. Please it's hold. Definitely a sad day, though, when old Miss Betty White died.
I've got more. Okay. Just give me 2 seconds.
1, 2. 1, 2.
She loved junk food. This is great.
Lives together. This one says stardom was derailed. White's initial rise to stardom was derailed by World War II. Before she took off on television, White was working in theater, on radio, and as a model. But with World War II, she shelved her ambitions and joined the American Women's Revolutionary. I'm sorry, not revolutionary. American Women's Voluntary Services. Her days were devoted to delivering supplies via PX truck through the Hollywood Hills, but her nights were spent at rousing dances thrown to give grand send-offs to soldiers set to ship out. Of that era, she told Cleveland Magazine, "It was a strange time and out of balance for everything."
Wow. This said that she studied to be a dramatic soprano. Betty was gung-ho about being an opera singer from a very young age. Age 14, in fact, she studied with the best and had big dreams. Her voice, however, wasn't as big.
This one says, she loved parades. From 1962 to 1971, White hosted NBC's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade alongside Bonanza's Lorne Greene. But that's not all. For 20 years, 1956 to 1976, she was also a color commenter for NBC's annual Tournament of Roses Parade. However, as her fame grew on CBS, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, NBC decided they should pull White and all the rival promotion that came with her from their parade. It was a decision that was heartbreaking for White, who told people on New Year's Day, "I just sat home feeling wrenched watching someone else do my parade." Mm-hmm. She was married 3 times, White and her first husband, Dick Barker, were married and divorced in the same year, 1945. After 4 months on Barker's rural Ohio chicken farm, White fled back to Los Angeles and her career as an entertainer. Soon after, she met agent Lane Allen, who became her husband in 1947 and her ex-husband in 1949. After he pushed her to quit show business. She wouldn't marry again until 1963, after she fell for widow father of three. Oh, so he had kids. Game show host Alan Ludden. So, yeah. Her meet cute with husband number three happened on Password. Bubbly Betty was a regular on the game show circuit, but she met her match in 1961 when she was a celebrity guest on Password, hosted by Alan Ludden. Though White initially rebuffed Ludden's engagement ring, he wore it around his neck until she changed her mind. The pair stayed together until his death in 1981. Today, they're stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, sit side by side. Oh, did you see all the little flowers that they put out for her on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Mm-hmm. Oh. This one says that she was the oldest person to ever host Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet.
After starring in a humorous Super Bowl commercial in 2010, fans petitioned that she host Saturday Night Live, according to Encyclopedia, whatever. Lo and behold, it came to fruition. That year, at age 88, she became the oldest host that show has had. She still holds that record today.
This one says she was the oldest person to earn an Emmy nomination. In 2014, White earned an Emmy nod for Outstanding Host for a Reality or Reality Competition program for the senior citizen-centric prank show Betty White's Off With Their Rockers. She was 92 at the time.
What?
She wanted Robert Redford, this says. The ever-quotable White once gave this cheeky confession. My answer to anything under the sun, like, what have you not done in the business that you've always wanted to do, is Robert Redford.
Wow.
Though she had more than 110 film and television credits on her filmography, White never worked with the Out of Africa star, who was 14 years her junior. That's funny. Oh, she's so spicy. I'm going to miss all of her little quips that she always said.
Her and Ryan Reynolds back and forth.
Oh my God. I watched one the other day where he was, it was like they were on a movie set and he was sitting in the chair and she kind of walked up to him and she's like, "Hi, Brian." And he's like, "You know, my name's Ryan. Can you get me some coffee?" And he's like, "I'm not going to get you coffee. Like, I work here too. There's people for that. You can ask somebody else." She's like, "I just want some coffee. And if Betty White asks you to get coffee, you get fucking coffee." And then he gets up and is like throwing his arms and yelling. And she's like, "Ooh, ooh."
Crying.
Like looking around to see if anybody's coming. And then here comes Sandra Bullock. I'm sure it was all played, you know, staged. But here comes Sandra Bullock. And because Ryan was still fucking freaking out. She was like, "Why are you making her cry? What is wrong with you?" And he's like, "She's evil." And then like, she was like, like hugging Sandra Bullock. And then she'd like look up and like wink at him.
Yeah, I saw where she was saying, I think it was on a late night talk show. They were talking about Ryan Reynolds and she was saying that he just can't like get over her.
Right. Oh, The Proposal is one of my favorite movies and I freaking love it. To the window, to the wall.
I haven't seen that movie for a long time. I need to watch it.
Oh, it's so good. I love that movie.
Well, R.I.P. to Betty White.
R.I.P. Betty White. You were a good one, and I'm sad.
And I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either.
Like, Tashina texted me, "Betty White died." And I was like, "No, she didn't."
And then you're like, "I can't find it anywhere."
Because I was like, looking on Facebook, nobody said anything until the very end of the day. And then I was like, she really did die. Like, it was all over Facebook. I even Googled it because a lot of times people say it.
Right.
And I have seen Betty White died. I can't even tell you how many times.
Yes.
And it was never true.
Clint Eastwood, too. They're always killing Clint Eastwood off, too.
And so it was all completely natural causes, they said, in her sleep, which I think if there's a way to go, that's the best way to go.
I want to go in my sleep, too.
Yeah.
I do. And I want to be cremated. I don't want to be put in the ground. I can't.
I can't even think about what I want done with my body. It fucking freaks me out.
Why? Like, you're not going to be around.
It's my body. I don't know.
You're not going to be around, though. I just don't want to be put
Nobody
in the ground.
Nobody knows that. Not one person knows that.
Well, I have faith that I'm not going to be around when somebody puts me in an oven and burns me. Did you know? Here I thought, when you got cremated, they like fucking flame torched you. And just like incinerated
you. In like a
You're
pizza
like a
oven.
Fucking cookie. Yeah, they put you in there and it just gets real warm in there and you fucking
like
melt away.
Like a pizza oven. Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought it like lit you on fire.
It does.
Well, no.
It charbroils you from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, it bakes you. Like, if you leave something in the oven for too long and then it turns to ash, that's pretty much what you're doing. Which sounds fantastic to me. I love being warm.
And did you also know? I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Never mind.
Can you tell me later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, anyway, I wonder what they're going to do with her. She's going to go to that big fucking Los Angeles cemetery, and she's going to have a giant mausoleum. If she doesn't have a giant mausoleum, I'm going to be pissed.
I wonder who she left all her millions to.
Probably some foundation.
Yeah, especially if you didn't have any kids.
And if you were, like, a big animal activist, probably the fucking SPCA of Los Angeles.
$75 million, that's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. Good for her.
I was saying... I saw something online that was saying that they want to recognize that day, the 31st, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As National Betty White Day. And for every year that that comes up, for everybody to donate $10 to their local animal shelter.
That'd be like, cool. I probably would do that, to be honest.
For in Betty White's name.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not crying anymore.
I know. That's rough. It's going to be hard to navigate through without her.
I know. But here we are, going into 2020. We got our resolutions, guys.
Tashina, we've been into 2020 2 years ago.
2022. 2021-y.
2021-y. Fuck. Oh, I missed that.
Sorry, my bad. It is 2022-y. And I keep writing 2021-y.
I know, me too. I've done it multiple times.
I'm like, God damn it. I hate that first set of months where you're still writing the wrong
Every
year,
January takes so fucking long. I wonder if this year is going to be the same.
Today, I wrote January 7th on everything. I don't know if you know, today is only the 6th.
Oh. You know why I said the 4th?
I don't know.
Because it's our 4th day of 75 day hard.
Oh.
So I was like, it's the 4th. No. But I realized we started on the 3rd.
Right.
Okay. So
that doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. Today's the 6th. Oh, well, I guess you gotta count. We started the 3rd, so you have to count the 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
You're like, oh, shit.
I was like,
it's
what?
Thursday. Are we not on day 4?
So confused. Guys, we're on our 4th day of 75 day hard. We both still have a workout to do.
Yes.
We both still have a giant bottle of water to drink.
Yes.
And we all fucking night long, because normally by now I'm almost done with that one, and I've been doing so well. I've been working out in the morning.
Yeah, and at
working
lunch.
Working out at lunch. So by the time I get home, it's been so fucking pleasant this round, because normally I do what I'm doing tonight, where I have to fucking chug this bottle of water and I get the fucking water belly from hell and I gotta work out and I don't want to and it's awful. But this time I'm riding my bike in the morning and I don't really want to, but by the time I get my ass up and kind of move my legs a little bit, it's so much nicer.
Yeah, the nighttime workout is really hard for me. It's killing me. I've been trying to do it right when I get home from work instead of after dinner.
Yes.
But tonight I just didn't have an option.
Yeah.
Because of podcasts.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna run tonight. But can I just tell you something?
Sure.
It has been years since I've done Insanity. I fucking love Insanity.
Do you?
And yes, it is my all-time favorite program. I can tell you that, like, without a doubt.
Really? Isn't it so fucking hard?
It is so hard. But it, like, so hard. But I'm super proud of myself. Like, my body has changed and I have gained, and I have been really bad with food-wise, right, for probably, like, 4 months. But I've been super consistent on my workouts. Yes. And I can so tell, because normally when I normally do Insanity, I can't even get through the warm-up without a break.
Oh, really?
I have been making it to the very last circuit of every workout before I even need to take, like, one rest.
Oh, nice!
Yes!
Look at
and
you.
Well, I mean, it's only the fourth day, so I haven't been, like, haven't done all of the workouts yet. But, like, the moves that I remember being so hard, they're still hard, but I can do them.
You don't have to modify or
anything?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about it.
That just goes to show consistency is key.
Yes. For sure.
Today was the first morning that I woke up and I was like, I could probably just do it after work. But then I was like, oh, fuck, we have the podcast. So.
Yeah.
That's not going to fucking work. That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got my ass out of bed and I was just like half asleep, moving my legs. And they're like, let's get it going. Yeah. And I was like,
let's get it started and I was, in here.
No, I'm not gonna. What are you gonna do to me if I don't? Just like that.
Really?
And then they yelled at me one more time and I was like, just like that.
Well. No. I am feeling much better. It's the first time in a long time. My rings fit. And I don't have sausage fingers. Like, in fact, they're like falling off.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Look at that weight loss in your fingers.
Look at that. And they were sausages.
Yes.
For...
That's awesome.
Are you agreeing that they were sausages?
No, I'm being proud of you.
So that's
exciting. I'm just trying to be proud of you, and you're not letting me be proud of you.
And I feel like I've bitten off a lot to do 75-day hard with Whole 30 at the
yes.
same time.
Yeah, that sounds like a murder waiting to happen.
But I'm really excited about it. I really am.
Have you been doing well with your Whole 30?
Yeah, awesome. Like, really good. I feel really good. Oh. And I'm not having any cravings. Oh. I'm not, yeah.
You haven't gone through the different stages yet? The dragon stage?
The dragon stage is later.
Oh.
That dragon stage is good. It's when your body starts to burn fat for fuel instead of sugar and caffeine and whatever normally. And so you have more energy, basically. That's called dragon blood.
Oh.
But today is day 4. And day 4 and 5 are normally kill all the things. Like, you're agitated, hangover, headache. And I haven't felt anything but good. Yes, I feel really good. I'm super excited.
See?
So it feels, you know, though, I always thrive on strict
diet. Like, strict.
Strict diet, strict workout schedules. Something that I'm doing that makes me proud of myself. I always feel better. Like, but then I don't know why I fucking get into like these little ruts where I don't do it because I always feel so much better.
Because who wants to fucking work out all the fucking time?
I mean,
nobody.
I still do my workouts, but it's the food.
Yeah, well, because food is life, man.
And that's why I was talking to Joe about it, because a lot of like meth heads who are trying to quit meth like meth, and so they want to do meth like it's an addiction. But with food, like, you don't need meth to survive, but you need food to survive.
Right.
And food is like, and most people have food addictions, but it's not like really something that is looked at because everybody eats shit. But for me, it's like, it really is like an addiction. It's bad.
Well, and then everybody's really gotten into that culture where the bigger, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now there's like things like food shaming.
Yeah. Like I understand you should love your body and I totally get that. But you cannot tell me if you're 500 pounds that your joints, your organs, everything you're doing.
We talked about that too, because you can love where you are at, or you can love who you are, but still work to be better.
Right.
Like, work to be healthier.
Right.
Not to look better, but to be healthier.
No, it has nothing to do with looking better, but you can't tell me that if you have that much weight on your joints, your organs, you're feeling good. You can't tell me that. You cannot tell me that you feel good walking upstairs and you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can't.
And then I saw this whole thing about how people are upset with Autumn Calabrese right now because she's a food shamer. Mm-hmm. Because she says certain foods are, like, bad for you and stuff. But, like, are we seriously at the time where people now are defending food?
Yes.
Because there are bad foods. Mm-hmm. There are some things that do nothing nutritionally for you other than wreak havoc.
Right.
Like, and that, who cares if you fucking call it out for
right.
what
it's
doing.
Right, and that's all that processed stuff.
Yeah, and sugar, like, all of that stuff is so bad for you, But why are we mad about food shaming?
Right.
Like,
I don't know. Days in the lives that we're in. Anyway, we're both feeling pretty good on 75 Day Hard, guys. So we'll have to check in next week and let you know if we're fucking over it. Because I feel like we're going to be really good for the first couple weeks.
I can already tell you because I've felt the mental shift. I will make it through the 75 days. I just know I will. Because I have shifted.
That's real fucking confident.
Yeah, but do you know that the only thing that is standing in your way?
You.
So,
I really like 75 Day Hard. I think it's a really good program, especially if you're in a funk, to get your mind reset.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. Because who wants to fucking do two workouts 45 minutes a day? Fucking nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. But it gets you out of your comfort zone. And that's the whole process behind 75 Day Hard, is you are out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. So.
Yeah. And my goal has been to run and bike at night and alternate.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so dead, like literally from Insanity, which is the hardest program, that I rode the bike 2 times. And then last night I did yoga because...
Well, it's pretty good for you. I mean...
And I was glad because then I woke up this morning and my insanity was a recovery. And his recoveries are...
Just as hard.
They're about bar. Like,
yeah. Ugh.
Every single thing is in a deep squat with a pulse. And he calls that fucking recovery.
You're like, excuse me, sir.
I was cramping in my legs, in my butt, in my thigh, in this area right here. I had a cramp. And he's deep tissue recovery. This ain't recovery, bro. Recovery is in bed. Like,
right? Sleeping.
Yes. No.
Letting our muscles heal.
But, yeah. Anyways. But tonight it's going to be my first run.
All right. Well, you're going to have to let me know how it goes.
And you'll have to text me when you're done with yours, too.
I know. I got to go get my kids from wrestling.
Anyways, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to our nonsense. Maybe we'll do it. Let's do a murder one next time.
Okay.
I feel murderous-y.
Okay.
Okay. We're the podcast moms.
Your heart is true.
You're a pal and a confidant.
Bye.
Oh.
I was like, bye.
All right, guys. Bye.